Hey, it's Elise again. So I'm going to talk about something that can kind of hit close to home for all of us who are moms and grandmas. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is that a friend of ours has a son that has cancer. And, you know, when you're a peds patient, they don't necessarily call it stage four, but we know that it's terminal. You know, they've went through the Make-A-Wish. So you know that... at this point, we're praying that everything goes well. Anyway, once the child turns 18, so this is the reason I want to talk about it. Once the child turns 18, the doctors no longer keeps her in the loop. Now, we're talking about a child that is angry, depressed, and they're letting him make the decision. So my question was, because I've kind of never agreed with this 18. I mean, when I was 18, it was like, yeah, I'm an adult. But you're living at home. You're under your parents' insurance. And if I felt like you're turning 18, the only thing you really could do was vote. But now it's a whole different thing. So I wanted to talk to everybody and see if they can chime in and let me know how they felt about it. And I'm going to search for an attorney that's willing to kind of tell us what our options are, what the law is, and different things like that. Because right now, this poor mom finds out through the grapevine that her son is no longer taking his chemotherapy pill. He has a right to say what he doesn't want. And it's not that she doesn't want him to have that right, but she wants to be kept in the loop. Nobody wants to be the person that just finds their baby passed away in a bed. Nobody. And if his decision is for palliative care, if it's hospice or anything else, she's not going to be aware of it unless he tells her this. So what do you think? Would you say, let me take him to court and make him incompetent? Would you just let it ride? How would you feel if all of a sudden you've been fighting for your child and as soon as he or she turned 18, you had no rights? There was nothing that you can do. We've talked to other physicians. She's talked to attorneys, and everything varies. But I always wonder if, and I don't even know if this is a word, are something situational? Can you see that this boy, the fact that he was yelling at his physicians and nursing, he has these constant outbursts, kind of say, Mom, there's something else you can do because you don't, at this point, you don't have any rights? Or from what she's saying to me is that they're very dismissive when she's asking what's going on. And of course, that could be because they're afraid for their license and they're, you know, how they're going to feed their kids. You know, the law says at 18, you don't have the right anymore. But at what point do you say, hey, I know we don't have the right to tell you, Mom, but we know that we're moms too. What point do we say, I feel you, and maybe we can get him a different way of therapy? How are we going to reach this kid? There's so many questions. Would love to know what you think about it. Anyway, this is me wondering what the law is on there. And I'll talk to you later. Hey, this is Lee Starian. So today we're not talking anything necessarily political, but it can be if you think about mental illness. So I think you've heard this several times that mental illness is one of the things that they put on the back burner when it comes to funding, on the back burner when you're trying to get help from somebody. It's just mental illness is not something that we really take care of the way that we should. So I'm going to tell you a quick story and something that I think we can do. So a friend of mine who I honestly haven't had a conversation with in a while, because just like everybody else, of course, things go on in our lives and we don't keep in contact as much as we should. So I call her and I do what everybody does, right? I say, hey, how are you doing? And she says, well, not too good. Well, what's going on? Well, my daughter passed away. She passed away because of a car accident last year. And of course, like anybody else, I says, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened to you. She turns around and says, well, that's not it. I said, well, how are the other kids? or that's not all. And I said, how are the other kids? And she says, well, the other kids, you know, she contacted them. She let them know what's happening. Her youngest, who was at college at the time, she let him know what's going on. And of course, they did their mourning as appropriately as they could. You know, they did what they could as a family. But there was one child that I was aware of as a friend that suffers from mental illness. And of course, she tried to give that one a little bit more attention because she thought she would take it a little harder. Well, that child ran away and she would keep trying to bring her back home. And she tried to go to the hospitals and contact authorities. And of course, they gave her the runaround and nothing was done, even with this girl's prior history. So one day, her daughter's missing. She comes home and she feels a piercing pain in her back. She could not believe it, because she felt like she was stabbed. She was. Her daughter continuously stabbed her several times. They fought while they were in the house. Luckily, she was able to fight her off and the girl ran away. She bled so badly that she ended up in the hospital for several weeks and actually had to go into rehab after that for several months. She said she, at one point, it was like she was learning how to walk, how to use her hands again. And she was glad that she was strong enough to make the phone call before she blacked out that she was stabbed and let the police know to come and get her. The reason why I'm saying this is that let's say she wasn't strong enough. Let's say she wasn't an athlete. My friend is very athletic, very strong, prior military, that kind of thing. There's somebody stabbing her and it's a family member. And I think what we should do is when we know somebody is either dealing with mental illness or has a young child or person in their household, and they don't usually share with us, right? We usually hide the fact that somebody's in our house that people can, because we feel like we shouldn't share that fact that we have somebody who's suffering with mental illness. We don't want anybody to call our child or our loved one nuts or any derogatory names. But if you for some reason know that there is somebody who's dealing with something right now, to somebody's dealing with a person that does have mental illness, here's a challenge. Give them a call. Say, hey, I'm just checking on you, seeing if everything is okay, seeing if there's anything you can do. Probably you couldn't do much, but sometimes they just need to be able to hear what's going on. And then when you see something coming up, talking about mental illness that has to do with the government, better ways of setting some things out there that maybe can help us as a community, join that as well. But I think the best step and the first step is contact that person, contact that mom, contact that dad that might be dealing with a child that is suffering. Talk to you later. Come back, and we're going to keep doing this until there are nine.